So we return to the Gaza crisis. Israel has paused its military operations in Gaza. The three-hour lull is supposed to allow food and fuel to reach Palestinian civilians. But there's also a diplomatic initiative on the table between the French and the Egyptians attempting to negotiate with Hamas. But we thought this would be a good time to talk about what has been a long history in the Middle East, particularly between Israel and various leaders of the Palestinian national movement, of back-channel negotiations that have taken place. And on the line with us now is Alistair Crook, who's a former EU mediator and director of Conflict Forum. He joins us from Beirut, Lebanon. Alistair Crook, thanks for being with us.
Hello, good afternoon to you.
We have you on the line because, in fact, you are an experienced back-channel negotiator dealing with such intransigent parties as Israel and Hamas. What would your suggestion be in this lull moment to try to get Hamas and some sort of representative of Israel to begin talking about something resembling common ground?
Well, in fact, I don't think in reality the difference between them on what might be an agreement should be that great. At the beginning of this round, or if you like, at the end of the ceasefire, it was fairly clear when it came to an end and before the present attack on Gaza took place, it was fairly clear that Israel was, in fact, looking for an extension of the existing ceasefire, albeit with slightly different terms.
And Hamas's issue, the issue for Hamas was the issue for Hamas was opening the border, correct?
And the issue for Hamas was improving the situation on the ground of Gazans by an opening, a proper opening, of the crossings into Gaza, including Rafah crossing. So I think that that is basically still the framework in which an agreement ultimately will come about.
What do you think the advantage is of a back channel for bringing issues this delicate back to the table? And let's not forget, there have been perhaps 700 Palestinian casualties here and a major humanitarian crisis now going on in Gaza. So there are different facts on the ground.
Well, I do think that I think back channels can be a great advantage, particularly at a time or in a circumstances like this. Because what you have now is a whole series of people trying to do separate negotiations. You've got two separate European Union delegations, one reflecting the presidency of the European Union, one reflecting France, the former president of the European Union. You've got Tony Blair acting, if you like, in the capacity of his envoy from the quartet to the quartet. And then you have, of course, the Turks, the Egyptians, and others who are playing a part in it. So clarifying some of what is said in the back channel will be very important to taking this forward, because in my experience, what always happens is that there is an exaggeration or misunderstandings that take place when you have such a multiplicity of channels trying to find a solution, because naturally mediators who want to be involved in it tend to put the best gloss possible on what they're putting forward, either to one party or the other party. And sometimes that ends up in actually creating worse misunderstandings between the two parties.
Well, it's interesting what you say in that the status and sort of world power potentially of the negotiators in a front channel actually create dissonances that make the communication difficult. So it's the sort of smaller scale talks in the back channel, not the fact that they are secret necessarily, that really helps to clarify things. How much of a complication is it that Hamas seems to have two authorities, one in Gaza and one in Damascus?
No, I don't think that's a complication because there is only one authority for these diplomatic type of discussions, and that is the political committee. All the other elements are subordinate to the political committee in these matters, and the political committee is that headed by Khaled Meshal, based in Damascus. No one else has the authority, finally, to agree. It's not Meshal himself, of course, who will decide. Hamas has a complex system of consultation. And, of course, both the leadership in Gaza, indeed the leadership in West Bank, and even the Hamas members sitting in Israeli prisons will be consulted before a final decision is made on something as complex as this.
Well, it's fascinating, these details, and we're very grateful that you're giving them to us. What is the face-saving outcome for Hamas here, do you think?
Well, I think the face-saving outcome will probably be that they will agree to have some form of monitoring on Rafah, including President Abbas's presidential guard, actually to man the crossing so that there is no direct contact either between the Europeans or between the Egyptians or anyone else manning the crossing at Rafah, and that will be the sort of basis for proceeding, that it will give Abu Mazen something of a say in the process, but I think it will be quite a marginal one, and at the same time restoring some sort of Palestinian authority,
right,
rule or involvement in Gaza.
Well, at least
it won't extend much beyond that.
But it would be a first step of Hamas and the Palestinian movement on the West Bank of maybe getting together. Rafah, of course, being the southern border there in Gaza, bordering Egypt. Alistair Crook, just 2 seconds before we go, I sense your optimism. Am I wrong?
Yes, you're wrong. I think that it's actually probably not likely. I think this conflict will be quite protracted because I think, just very quickly, there are, first of all, there's an election in Israel, which means that some of the key players in Israel have more of an eye on the electorate than they do on necessarily bringing a conflict to the end.
And we've noted that. We've noted that before. Go ahead quickly.
Hello?
We've noted the power vacuum in Israel, but I'm glad I clarified that you're not particularly optimistic, but thank you so much for those details about Hamas and the possible outcome here. Alistair Crook, former EU mediator and director of Conflict Forum. He joined us from Beirut, Lebanon.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.